That's a bonus.
Oh, it's huge. Because like I always watch like the radio guys have like these like super comfortable chairs. Because for years when we would record shows, we were in these like shitty studio chairs, whatever chairs the studio have.
Yeah.
And those things are just like, I mean, oh my God, my ass, my posture has just been like in so much pain from doing this. Oh, so man. Every time we come to a house and there's a couch, it's like a treat.
Oh, nice. That's good. That's good, man.
Ah.
Are we ready?
Does it smell like cinnamon?
It does. It smells really nice.
It smells like Christmas.
A little Christmas tree.
It's also the nicest smelling house.
Oh, nice. Girls can love that.
Far better than Cookwood.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't expect that.
There's a general bad aroma pretty much whenever Cookbook's in a room.
It smells like a bodega.
Cookbook himself smells like a bodega.
He actually smells
like an entire store in one human being. Oh, all right. Man. Okay. Should we start the show, though?
Yes, sir. All
right, yeah, man.
Don't flush the toilet. Welcome to another Smell-O-Matic Vision.
Smell-O-Matic?
That was weird. My headphone all of a sudden popped out right in the middle. It distracted me. I was going to say Smell-O-Vision-Matic.
Oh, gotcha.
Smell-O-Matic. Aroma-Vision episode of the Crappy Awesome Podcast. We're your host, the Diego Brown Project. I am Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. And with me is Kiel Sire, even though we'll just call him Chris.
Hey, yeah.
We're, of course, brought to you by Platform Collection. It's a beautiful, amazing service that does not smell like Cookbook.
Mm.
It's got all kinds of amazing content there.
A little bit, right?
It smells like Cookbook
residue.
A little bit. It's Cookbook. He's rubbing it on his butt.
He's there.
Make sure you go over to platformcollection.com and check out all the content that's on there. There's music videos and essays and interviews and reviews and all kinds of content to keep you busy and potentially fired from your job because you won't be paying attention to what you should be doing.
Yes.
While you're there, check out our sibling podcasts. There is Culture Sessions, hosted by Melathion Archive and produced by Spock Beats.
Spock Beats.
The Tumex Hologram Podcast and the Tumex Hologram Radio Show. Both of those are over at platformcollection.com.
Mm-hmm.
How are they different? He plays music on the radio show.
He plays music on his podcast as well.
Huh.
If he's really hungover, he'll only play music on his podcast.
He rants for a long time on his podcast.
Yeah.
But not on the radio.
On the radio show, you hear maybe a shout out or two, and he does ads.
Okay. It's more music based.
Yeah.
The podcast is a window into his haunting mind.
It's his haunting.
Does he interview?
Disturbing mind. Yeah.
Man, I bet you.
Yeah. But even when he doesn't have interviews, though, you just want to listen to him for like 2 hours.
Some of his best episodes are just him by himself telling stories.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. He doesn't run out of steam. I don't think I've ever seen a human being be able to talk in the way that he does.
No.
Yeah. You come close.
Thank you.
But not quite as
much. No, none.
Proof of Life Radio, hosted by Kiel Sire and Kali.
Yeah.
Life on the Road, with 60 East. This other podcast that I'm not going to mention. Really, though?
Wait a minute. Pigeon John's on here. Maybe Pigeon John can make a
plea?
Yeah, because we've had other people make a plea.
Okay. All right. AWOL One is supposed to have the broadcast podcast that we've been teasing for like 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And, he just won't do it.
He hasn't done it yet. So we've asked everyone who knows him to please ask him to release that goodness into the world.
Will do.
Yeah.
I'll send him a text.
There it is.
Release your podcast.
Yes, immediately.
There was a...
AWOL.
I don't remember his name. It was an artist that was opening for Run the Jewels. And, he didn't have an album. It was just, like, singles and mixtape stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, and so, someone yelled at him to release, right?
Well, that was the running joke. Like, every tour stop, they make people yell and scream out from the crowd, release the fucking album! He's like, all right, I got you.
Yeah, we need that for AWOL.
We need that for AWOL.
That's good.
Start a hashtag or something. Really, though? With Cookbook.
Yeah.
Orchestrated.
Cookie boogie.
Mm-hmm. Smelly cookie. He smells like he's cooking. Orchestrated with Noah James and Lisa J. Their status escalates with Kali.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghetto Blaster podcast, hosted by Ricochet and Jen Johnson.
Yes.
And the as-of-yet-to-be-announced Battle World podcast.
Yeah.
What's Battle? Is coming soon. He's battling?
You can't know.
Coming soon. Podcast. Some big names from the Battle World are coming over to the network.
That's fun.
Starting like the podcast.
Yeah,
it's part of the world that we don't dip into it too much, and I want it represented.
Yeah.
That's fresh because I only see them in action.
Yeah, I'd like to
never
hear where it comes from
because they're like boxers.
Yeah.
You know, check the fights. And
yeah, I think it's gonna be a lot like that.
We need an ESPN Sports Night.
Yeah.
For MC, that world. Yeah.
ESPMC.
ESPMC.
I give up.
I like
ESPMCM.
That.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Platform Collection. That is one word, all spelled out. And on Twitter at Platform Collect with Notion.
Notion.
It's almost like a, what is a song?
Notion.
Without the Notion.
Without the Notion. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tor Project for working to bring us a more private web browsing experience. To learn more about Tor Project, visit torproject.org. Tor spelled T-O-R, by the way.
Not Thor Project.
Not
Some
Thor.
People thought it was Thor.
I thought it was Thor.
Yeah, it's Thor.
For a long time, I thought our sponsors were named Thor. It's like, we were
Thorbot for your
major,
sponsored.
Yo.
We're sponsored by like
you guys mess around
Thor.
We're
gods.
Gods.
Like Vikings.
Can't lose.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And of course, unrelated to any of everything that I just mentioned, Burner Podcast, that's over at burnerpodcast.com and covers the Burning Man community and is hosted by yours truly. So check that out at burnerpodcast.com.
Wow.
Tell them about Stitcher and iTunes and all that.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Spreaker.
Spreaker.
Go over to crappyawesome.com. You can hear every episode all the way to episode zero.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go over to Platform Collection and start somewhere around 67. Where me and Arash like to say things got good.
Yeah. Before they got weird.
Up until then, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
Kind of bad. Just bouncing around in the podcast world.
It's terrible.
It's hard to be one of the first hip-hop podcasts.
Let me tell you something.
Wow.
These headphones that I have on right now
are immaculate, huh?
Yeah.
How they feel.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
It's like I'm massaging my own head with my voice.
I almost feel like
you
shouldn't have those.
You guys should shout out those headphones.
Yeah.
They're Sony. What are they? 20?
Sony want to sponsor us?
No.
One love.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for supporting. The numbers keep growing because of you. Keep rating on any of those platforms. That always helps us. Mm. It's just a nice thing for you to do for all this free content that you get.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We even let you complain about it and don't say anything. Don't call your mom.
Yeah.
We don't say anything. We don't tell on you at work.
I do sometimes.
Okay. Well, Rosh does.
Yeah.
But other than that,
tattle on you regularly.
5 years, what are you complaining about?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Free stuff. Do that for us. And follow everything at Mr. Rosh or everything at Kill C Ray. Reach out to us. Have requests for guests. And we know we keep getting that request to do the history of the show type podcast.
The history of Crappy Awesome?
Yeah, but we'll get around to it. We're getting around.
Okay.
We have a few people booked. So once we're done with this next crop of bookings, then we'll get in on that.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have someone. Maybe we'll have Cookbook come in and do
an interview.
Interview
you guys.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Except that he doesn't like you as much as he likes me.
He'll get more shine.
Are you looking in the mirror?
He'll get more shine. Yeah. That's true. And he doesn't need any more.
Yeah. Oh, word? Okay.
Yeah, because he's too shiny.
I'll talk to Cookbook.
Yeah.
And AWOL. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay. Please handle that for us.
Word.
By the way, the voice you're hearing by now, you know, is Pigeon John is on the show, man.
Hey, what's up,
thank you so much, dude.
Pleasure. All eyes on me.
About you, we know the rule though. I'm running a game and can't lose. Oh, never. doubt it. I'm all about it. I'm taking the cup, shaking them, waking them up. That's what I do. Quick on the draw, taking a sip from the jar till you don't know who you are. Right in my car, laying a tip from the bar, then ripping it all apart. Pushing the beat, sipping it straight from the vine. You know we serving the heat. Bon appetit, tea. Look up, cause all eyes on me. All eyes on me.
Tell you this interesting story about you. So we've had you on our list of people that we wanted to interview almost from the beginning of the show. Right. And as you know, like in the hip hop world, it's you got to kind of find your path to everybody because everybody's doing stuff. Yeah, everybody's touring. And lo and behold, our producer, Eddie, finally got Cookbook in a corner. Yeah. And told him, you need to get Pigeon John on the show for us.
Nobody puts Cookbook in the corner.
Yeah, but except Eddie.
Eddie put Cookbook in the corner.
He put Cookbook in the corner. And Cookbook hooked it up. So, dude, honestly, shout out to Cookbook for making it happen.
Heck yeah.
I've always liked the fact that you've been, from the very jump, like one of these artists who likes to think out of the box. You had the early years at, like, The Good Life where people would talk about how you seem to go in there. And this is something I wanted, because I've seen old footage and stuff of you going to The Good Life. And at that time, you were just being who you were in this very... Because The Good Life, I mean, in Alex Tumex's own words, was a confrontational place. Like, there was... It could get confrontational there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the footage I've seen would be people, like, watching you going, like, trying to understand, like, what's happening here, and then you would grab them, and then people would cheer. And did you ever have times where, like, take us back to those early days at The Good Life, were you afraid? Was there ever any fear?
It was, like, good afraid, like being on top of if you skate.
Yeah.
And you have a big drop in.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking at how high you're going to get.
Yeah.
But just the fear, the healthy fear of standing on the edge.
Yeah.
And then dropping in is just...
Do you remember the first time you went up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The first time I heard about it. And this was back in the day in L.A. where there wasn't any open mics and stuff.
Yeah.
Word got around. And in school, and my friend, our acquaintance, invited me. And before then, really, hip-hop was really the radio or mixtapes or very personal between just, like, five friends in real life. We didn't go out to clubs or anything. So
there was no epicenter of the hip-hop world. Yeah,
our rooms and just skating and stuff. So I heard this place. I went there, and I was blown away. I was day one. I loved it. And the reason why is because I knew that everyone's better than me. Like, I instantly knew, because I spit my hot 16.
Yeah.
And it didn't get dissed, but I didn't make a ripple. And I realized, oh, shoot, I've been hanging out with my friends. Like, there's no...
So the bar was set. Yeah.
And I just went there and learned and signed up when I could and stuff. But always very nervous.
Yeah.
But even the same nervousness that I have in, the last show I did in Long Beach, the same thing.
So yeah, it's still there.
It never leaves.
Wow.
It's really weird.
And, dude, I mean, it's interesting because you're one of those dudes who people can argue that you take a lot of risks in your music. I tend to think that it's more of it seems like it's you're not afraid of being like the authentic you, and that's that is, I guess that is risky in hip hop sometimes, there's always going to be, you're always going to open yourself to judgment, people telling you how you should sound or that your sound isn't going to work.
The beautiful thing about The Good Life, that it was confrontational, but the main thing was, like,
everybody was trying to be original.
Yeah.
And everyone forced you by the rules of like no cussing and then no biting.
Yeah.
Like you could not sound like Jay-Z. You couldn't sound like Kendrick Lamar. You couldn't sound like anyone. So it forced everyone to dig in.
Yeah.
Not in a deep way. It just happened nicely because everyone was playing together. So you rub off on
each other.
Yeah. If Cookbook was here, he would stop. Whole podcast on the rub-off situation. Yeah. What? Say that one more time. But it was dope. So you had, that's why, you know, you had the 2 mix.
Yeah.
You had the volume 10.
Yeah.
You had Jurassic 5. No one sounds alike.
Right, right, right.
Not one MC sounds alike. You have all these MCs and really kids that everyone just encouraged each other to, during the early 90s and 90s was just be original first. Before you even make a good song, you have to come with it.
Yeah.
You know, everything was like, well, how are you going to bust this way? You know?
Yeah.
I think we all found it just by looking around. And then it took like a year and a half, and then everyone had their own vibe.
Yeah.
You know, they would bring their songs, and it was cool.
I mean, at that point, are you already, like, mentally, are you like, this is what I'm going to do? Or were you like, this is just something for fun, like this takes up my time? And
I was working at bookstores and stuff, so it was like in my mind, but it was a complete dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing it just for the love of it.
Yeah.
And you know, being young and not have, you know, you have a gang of times.
Yeah.
It just really took over the whole life, and it was weekly.
Yeah.
So every Thursday you'd go up there, and then if you didn't blow up or you had a good night, you have another week to do another song.
Yeah.
So it was very interactive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you saw the homies with the song, you know, 2 weeks ago. That song was dope. What'd you do? Oh, I'm just trying. And never would they do another song. No repeats.
Yeah.
Just one song and then goodbye. What's going on? And then another song and goodbye. And
yeah.
You have to try to see if their idea can float. And that's it. That was the reason. And then anything after that was business and music.
Yeah.
But first was just like, can we all zone out right quick?
Yeah. Just
for what? Ain't no girls or drugs around?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You know, we're just like almost like youth group in a way, because even though it was in a hot arena, it was only 8 to 10, and it was really ran by a woman, B Hall.
Yeah.
She was like her hip hop mom. Mm. And anytime you use the N word or cussing or the B word,
you're done.
Mic's cut, no matter how hard you are.
Yeah.
So then it forces you to get. You know, they did that to us. They really did.
Yeah.
We all really did that. Just by opening like what was Trader Joe's back then, pretty much.
Her
own health food stuff.
Right. So which was attached to it, right?
It was inside.
Yeah.
It was like the size of two of these rooms in a health store. So stuff that like little shots of energy.
People do
it. I didn't know what they were doing, but she was doing it like before it went to West Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it was very like a blessed arena.
Yeah.
And I wish that for all the MCs now to have like open mics where they get to get nervous. And,
right.
You know, there might be some girls around.
And you'll work it out.
Just like, you know, because you never know until you bust.
Yeah.
There's another cookbook.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Everything's dope. You practice, but you never know. It's kind of like baseball. You never know until you're on the mound, you see the pitcher, then you know the deal. Like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
And no one else can see that interaction except you and that. It's pretty crazy.
Do you remember as like the influx of like the industry started to pay attention a little bit more, and then people started to get like, oh, this person could get a deal, or this person.
Yeah,
did you feel like, was there, because I've talked to a few people who were there at that same time, and were you guys aware of what you were doing? Like, were you aware that this was going to be not just a footnote in West Coast? It was like a chapter in West Coast hip hop.
No.
You had no idea.
Because we were just living off a week.
Yeah.
And then for years at a time, for 4 years.
Wow.
And then we look up. And the notion of a deal was like, you hear it from rap records.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know any A&R.
Yeah.
So you're listening to a Tribe, and that's how far the industry is from the good life.
Yeah.
But we really didn't know until people started the naturally gifted MCs started getting plucked. Corrupt
Yeah.
was the first one on on the Chronic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we were like, what's going on? You're on the Chronic? He's in a Navigator with a bottle of Hennessy.
Yeah.
At the Good Life. He didn't even want to leave.
Yeah.
So all that stuff, and he wasn't, there's no girls around. Once again, it's all just about the music.
Yeah.
And he came there after the record dropped, almost out of, I looked, because we all, what's going on? Dang, this car's out. He's almost like slightly bored and almost wishing that, I wish I can just
bust. Right, go there, back to the, when it was pure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the industry had not touched it. And then the freshest story was when J5, everyone, I think we're looking for deals, but they pressed up their first single,
right,
and brought it to the Good Life. And just that notion alone changed everybody's, it's like, independent hip hop.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, how did you, we couldn't get a deal, so we pressed it up. Do you want one? That whole notion, all it took was one person, and then everyone was like,
boxes, I could do
that. CDs. And,
yeah.
Oh, we're doing this? And it was very interactive, and we'd openly bounce off each other.
Yeah.
There was no, like, dumb competition where it's like clicky.
Yeah.
And none of that. It was just like,
it was everybody was trying to raise the bar.
Yeah, that's it. And then go home.
Yeah.
Why did the Good Life end?
I think it ran its natural course. Everyone was young. Mm. And then the no cussing thing got a little old. Huh. And people, you know, wanted to stretch out and do their own thing. And then that's when AC started Project Blowed.
Right.
A little later on a different night. And stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what pretty kind of ended the Good Life, because people had grown out of it.
Right.
Freestyle Fellowship got a major deal.
Right.
Far Side, Will I Am.
So I've heard people describe it like Good Life, when the Good Life faded away, it also took with it like the innocence of it all. Because I've heard people put in, like, people commented, Tumex being one of them, that after the Good Life, people had tasted, at least by recognition through other people, like, what the industry was.
Oh, yeah.
And now there was, like there was purpose now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, man.
Everybody could get on. We could get on.
Or there's a reason why you go to the open mic.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's to get, is you're almost, you're already skipping the first step is, first, you gotta have fun.
Yeah.
See if you like it.
Yeah.
Because this ain't nothing but just mics and some emptiness.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of floss as far as
right.
song. You know.
Right.
But yeah, it's a trip.
So
it's a trip.
Okay, so you go. Let's flash forward. Well, actually, really quick
it was a little like a timing situation too, because being that it was in the 90s, the industry was very young.
Yeah.
So when you have even a slightly younger, like 2-3 years, that's a whole generation.
Absolutely.
So they come in and they don't see just MCs without the deals. They see MCs and 1/4 have the deals.
Yeah,
so automatically you have a choice. Do I kick it with these fools in the alley? Or do I look what they're doing? Then you're kind of like, you know, a little ahead.
And where were you? Where did you feel you fell into that world?
Man, I went there. I wanted to bring a bunch of my friends there, but a lot of times it didn't work out. So a lot of times I was alone. So for like the first 4 years, I felt that I found my voice, and I felt that the scene was, it's like going to the club too long, the same one that you kind of helped start on accident.
Yeah.
You know exactly how that feels. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
there's new people and new flossy, and then the old older people, they have the benefit of basic bullying.
Yeah.
Who's on the list?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you're not a fool. Are you from, oh, yeah, bagging. We got people coming up here. And then you have the clicking going on. And that's when I kind of naturally left.
Yeah.
Because I was focusing on getting the idea, like, oh, I got to do an album.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's the next step.
Yeah.
It's like working on the record and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'd poke in my head at Project Blowed here and there and stuff.
Did you, now with the, well, before we move on, do you have siblings?
Yeah. I have a brother and a little sister.
Yeah. Your brother's older?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're both parents?
One, my mom.
Mom, well, what does your mom do?
She works in the office. She typed up, what do you call that? We type up doctor's notes. I forget the name.
Prescriptions?
Yeah.
A pharmacist.
Not pharmacist. Uh-huh. When you type up the notes for their files.
Oh, okay.
Like typings.
Yeah. Was she creative?
No. She wasn't into. She loved music, but she didn't do music and stuff. But music was all around.
Where did the creative part for you come?
I think my grandma. It was like a traditional. I saw my family singing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was personal. It was like hearing a Tribe Called Quest first record.
Yeah.
Alone, and then deciding alone to I'm gonna make some music alone. For someone that I might never meet, that they might hear it. So it's very like, because I didn't go out that much, it was very much just me, like, you know what, I really want to do it.
Why didn't you go out that much? What kind of kid were you?
I was a skater, crew of five dudes, and then going to church and stuff. So that was kind of like my whole life. It was like, bunch of people, but it was like more, you know, kid like
and shit. Yeah, yeah. Would you say you were like a good kid? Would your mom say like, yeah, he didn't give me too many problems?
Yeah, I would say pretty much.
Yeah.
But only because I didn't really have the chance to. I was not like a good hearted person.
Yeah.
Just no one put it in front of me and said, put that in your nose.
Yeah.
And then put this, you know, because I probably would have done it. You know, who knows? I think it was just circumstance, dude, just the way life goes and even discovering the good life. And that's where I met Cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, UMC. And then years later, connecting to create
for LA Symphony. Yeah.
It's just like those little things that, you know, keep us, you know, connected and stuff.
What is it? What was your, because that is such a big chapter. What was your view? Cause we've had Cookbook on the show and he talked about it too. What was your view of, if you had to sum it up, like, this is what LA Symphony was, and this is what happened to LA Symphony.
Oh man,
what would you say?
I would say it came to a time where we were all in groups. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in miniature groups and stuff, and I was coming from Brainwash Projects, and like the group had just broken up. So I was like, I'm not sure if I want to do this. It's already too serious. What's going on right now, fool? We're just, you know, it got a little serious. So I was a little bit reluctant in group going to group because then we're all connected, and that means everyone represents each other and stuff.
Right.
But I gave that up, and off the hypeness of Cook and Flynn and everyone there, I was just like, this is the new chapter.
Yeah.
And we were all pretty much just friends first.
Yeah.
Which is a blessing because you're just like hanging out, and then someone starts spinning, and then you record some freestyles. And think of names of crews, and this is innocent because we didn't have any deals on the table.
It's just an organic thing happening.
It was just just Flynn.
Yeah.
Flynn just kind of pushing and hustling, and everybody's gift and vibe added to it. It just was really cool to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know, during that time.
And then you guys,
you know what happened?
Kind of caught on.
I think that we had the opportunity of a lifetime, '99, to have a nice deal. And the first deal we had was a nice one, and we got to choose the producers. We had a great time putting the record together. It was a dream. And then the age-old story that we heard about on the rap hip-hop records was the label fell under and got bought out.
So
our record was owned by a bigger major, but they moved like dinosaurs.
We
were stuck for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was just at the coming-of-age time of us meeting our soon-to-be wives. Dating. See, it used to be... Life was happening.
Yeah.
Then you're in late 20s, and it's like, fool, I need to eat. I love you.
Yeah.
But we are not going down together, okay?
Yeah.
You know, but...
That wasn't the agreement.
Yeah, but it was hard because we were all in it together. But then the daily, you know, how are we going to pay rent and stuff like that? We can't live together you know, forever.
Right.
And it was real, real tough because coming in, it was magical. It was dope. And it affected us so too early. It was only our second album.
Thwarted. Yeah.
And then we're like, you know what? Let's go back to the indie. Because it's untrustworthy.
Yeah.
As far
as
our experience and stuff. Come on and let me in. Let's get it set up.
So you went, at the time that, like, say, LA Symphony was dissolving, did you have in mind, all right, this is where I'm going to go and this is my next thing? Or were you kind of floating? Were you like, I don't know what's going
to
happen?
I had a big desire to finally do Dating Your Sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Solo record.
Yeah.
Because I was in groups all my life. And I, back in the day, My favorite groups were always groups. It was mm-hmm. never a solo or a break.
Yeah.
Even Rakim wasn't solo. There was no
right,
solo.
Right.
So I was always in the band. To think of me as a solo artist, not even Q-Tip is solo.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I would think. Not even Ad-Rock is solo.
Yeah.
Who am I? Karis One? P. He's yeah, not yeah, solo.
Yeah. yeah.
So I was, that's why my first record is called Clueless, because Brainwash had broken up, and that's when I was floating around
yeah.
that time. But that's the time I met, reconnected with Cookbook.
Yeah,
and started
yeah.
doing stuff, and then I guess it was I just focused on doing the solo stuff. But it was tough because it was departing from LA Symphony, and I love the way like Living Legends kind of rock.
Cause yeah.
They would record all together and then support their indie releases.
Right.
So everyone yeah. can eat.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to eat on one loaf
yeah.
bread.
Yeah, like the Wu-Tang.
But yeah, it was unfortunate. You know what I'm saying? But it was a blessing to just get that far.
Did you feel going into your solo career, did you feel you were bringing LA Symphony fans with you, or were you feeling like, man, I'm starting from scratch again?
During that time, because the record hadn't come out,
and yeah.
we were touring, but we didn't even know what was out there.
Yeah.
So it was mostly like an artistic, like, this is my time yeah. to make a stamp. Funny thing, on my second record, I already considered myself old as far as rap years.
Yeah.
I used to look at people like,
wow.
young and young, like, dude, that dude's 22.
Yeah.
25. So I don't want to listen to old man
rap. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was already like, dang, well, I gotta do it.
Yeah.
You know? But the pleasure was when the record came out, and then got the opportunity to tour with the Living Legends.
Yeah.
That part was dope, but I always missed like when good stuff was around, I'd be in a cool hotel or a bomb show. Who's seeing that?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
It's just like the good life.
Yeah.
No matter what, you can't take it home. None of your homeboys are going to see this. So it kind of keeps it like a nice, healthy detachment.
Yeah.
You can't really take, you know, it's weird.
Yeah.
But it took me a while. And then, but I think artistically, all the greats, I just wanted to add my sound to what was going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and you were obviously you did that, and there's times where we've talked, I've talked with other artists, and you talk about like influences that you can actually see, like tangible influences. And your influence, I wouldn't put it out there, but I can think of four or five artists off the top of my head where I know there's an influence from Pigeon John. I can see it. I could just the way the vibe, the feel, like, oh, he's probably, and sure enough, a lot of times I have talked to them and they're like, oh yeah, I used to listen to a lot of Pigeon John. But now you're at a place where people, there's a population that sees you as like an elder statesman in hip hop. There's also a younger generation that comes out and discovers your music for the first time. And they're like, oh, this new guy, you know, because I've heard that too. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, have you heard Pigeon John? I've literally had people tell me, hey, have you heard Pigeon John? As if it was like somebody, like just a young kid coming out.
Oh, man.
And that's an interesting thing that, like that the internet has done. You know what I mean? The internet that's has true. Done that because you have records out there that continuously get introduced to people's lives.
Yeah.
And wherever they catch you is where, that's where you're new to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's cool.
But at the same time, you're also like the epitome of like the hardcore indie artist. Like you've stuck to your guns after that, after leaving there, like I'm going to stay indie. I want to experiment with my music. I want to get producers that nobody might want to get, but I want them because they're my favorite producers.
Right.
And was there ever times, and still to this day, are there ever times where you look at it and go like, I could probably take an easier route? Because we've talked about it on this show many times, because the majority of people that come on are indie. Mm. And we've always wondered, I wonder this now about myself, and you know, Arash, the same thing. Is there a part of like the indie mind that likes the suffering a little bit? Like they like to, like, man, I like the grind. I like that.
I only can view it from me.
Mm-hmm.
I think not only the good life, there were original MCs.
Yeah.
But the MCs that we loved, everybody was different.
Yeah.
You had the EPMDs, you had the Tribe, you had the Gangstar. You can count up to 20 and none of them will sound alike. So
yeah,
that generation was just like, as long as it's your voice, that's number one. And two, if you get successful, do it. But the rule was like, you gotta put it down. You have to, and just see how you naturally glow.
Yeah.
And just kind of
grow, that's all that
go
matters.
From there. Yeah. 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 And a lot of times it was by default where I had to accept the way that I made my music when I was in the situation where it's like, okay, shoot for a goal, mm-hmm. be this way, this is what they want, give them what they want. So you go down and I'll write the song, seriously trying to make it like it is.
Yeah.
It turns out like a Technicolor coat. I'm like, what is...
Yeah.
Well, okay. In my mind, this is 50 Cent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is how it sounds.
Yeah.
You know, so it was almost uncontrollable, the bend toward making sure that this, my sound was there or whatever I was hearing. But it kind of keeps me, the chase is the thing I think that ruins a lot.
Yeah.
In the industry of music or anything that's fun, really.
Yeah.
And I think that learning how not to chase that, I have to the longer I'm in the industry, you have more time to think about those things.
Yeah.
But the best times and the true answer is how the good life, you just do your music and
and worry about the rest later. Yeah.
Close your eyes, pretend that you're rapping to a star in the universe, naked and alone, and terrified. And then go home and see if you get lucky.
Yeah.
That's all that it is. It's just like, just throw it down and then see what that is first before you start carving it and stuff, you know? So I think that I'm just been doing it this long that I can even get caught up. Like I'm working on the next record soon to try to put it out next year. And I just released the last record.
Right, so this Good time Center is, right, like, is out right now.
Yeah, that's the last one.
Yeah,
so it's the same deal. Every album is just like just one. You stop it.
Yeah,
don't try.
Yeah.
Don't. As soon as you start trying, then you know, just something happens to it.
Yeah,
so it's just like the fight to cancel, almost like meditation. I was like,
do you think people know?
Until you are floating, press record.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that doesn't have to be that deep, but if it's a trying thing, because of worry.
Or I need to sound like this way, or I need to use these things.
3 in the morning, wake up. I'm going to check my phone. Just, it's a good day. I feel good.
Yeah.
Instagram. You see thousands of people pop.
Yeah.
Hawaii. Amsterdam. Okay. I think I'm going to make a beat so it can kind of get into your head.
Yeah.
So much outside.
Yeah.
And the true thing is, the blessing thing is that people who do, when I listen to music, I love when the artists, you can tell, like, when they're at their weirdest.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they start doing this, it's like your best friend trying to smell good.
Yeah, yeah.
Calm down, bro.
Yeah, you know.
Just chill out, it's dog. It's not working.
Yeah.
How do you catch that, though? Like, what is the system to catch yourself trying?
Because
I feel like most people don't realize they're doing it.
Yeah.
I would say there's
like, do you know when you're trying? Like, you have to take a step back afterwards and look at it, right? But it's while you're doing it,
what it happens when I record alone? Uh-huh. It happens. That's when it's tricky,
right?
Where you have to just, and then it's kind of like, it's not old school where there's someone like, okay, you got Rick Rubin, go, you're just all alone. So it's like, okay, make sure that you just, you know, you have to almost,
you don't have a director.
Yeah, you don't have to, you're self-directing. But I think the first takes of recording is usually the best one.
The purest, right?
So I have to cut myself, even if it's not, I'm learning.
Right.
I'm just to let it go, you know what I'm saying? Just make sure that it's, you know, just let go.
Yeah.
Because I keep on trying to, you know, just let it go. It's like the hardest thing is to just take off the effects.
Yeah.
Like, let your voice shine.
Ooh.
And you hate it, but then some person, that's the glory. Yeah.
They're like, that's what I've been waiting for.
It's a horrible picture, you think.
Yeah.
And then a person like, dude, that song right there, huh? It's like, dude, thank you. Even if it's just one, because, you know, it's real personal and it's a cool thing to, you know, be able to have anyone listen to
just
for a minute outside of Rite Aid.
I mean, all
they like it, I'm good.
All of your music, though, is personal. Like, most of it's all, whether you're being funny or talking about relationships or talking about your stressors, it's all, I mean, does it, because, I mean, you're in a relationship. Is it ever get tough? Like, man, my whole life is out here. Like, I've literally poured my life out on all these records. People know everything about me.
Man, I would say I do that with without knowing sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd be telling the future sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a trip to do it and then just let it go. It's a lot easier when I work with producers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let's say you guys were producing a track.
Yeah.
It's a whole different language. Now I'm just almost, you know, open. It's a sharing. Oh, this way, that. Oh, I like that. It's real natural for me both ways, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier to kind of work with people. That's, you know, LA Symphony,
right?
Honesty all the way. Because you got Joey the Jerk recording your verse.
Yeah.
How you gonna try to?
Yeah,
huh?
He's gonna tell you,
John. Calm down.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
it's cool. A silly example, but I've noticed like a general correlation.
Uh-huh.
When I write status updates, like on Facebook or Twitter, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I realize there have been situations, I haven't had any recently, but I've had that situations where I look back on it. I'm like, oh, I was totally trying to get likes out of that one. That was totally, attention. And I've noticed the correlation over the years of like, when I don't give a fuck and I'm just like writing, and I'd write some sappy ass shit, as you know, it will get a reaction. Like it'll get like 100 likes and share and quote and all this. Yeah. But then like, if I really try to compose something and I'd look back on it and think like, oh, that one was me trying a little hard to like sound profound, and that one won't get the responses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really amusing. People can somehow on some sub like, but the raw ones do. And there is like, there is something that people can pick up on. And I don't know what it is. It's like a sixth sense.
Man.
It's some sort of a. It's a primal instinct, perhaps, to be able to catch on to, because maybe
at one point it was about survival.
Yeah.
Like I had to know this guy was bullshitting me because if not, he could hit me with a spike or something and kill me.
Yeah. And kill my family.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts that like we still have that instinct. And yet, sometimes it completely goes the other direction, as we've seen in the previous election.
Oh, yeah.
know?
True indeed.
Sometimes people just shut it down completely.
Yeah. That's scary.
I wonder, though, if that's also something that both of you guys as performers, like on stage, that comes across too. You know,
like, oh, yeah.
People can read when you're insecure, when you're not feeling great there.
You can lose a crowd like that.
Bro, yeah. I always say through the years of touring is like the crowd is your mirror.
Yeah.
No matter what you're thinking or trying to hide, they're going to smell it.
Yeah.
And they're going to bring it to the surface. So if you do something, they're going to do it or whatever. They're following you, but that's a humbling thing because you got grown adults looking at another grown adult. Seriously. You know, bless me with some art.
Yeah.
Bless me with that art. And they're open as hell.
Yeah.
You know, so it's real, but that's where the rubber meets the road. The shows, you can't lie.
Yeah.
You cannot lie with, you can't.
Yeah, there's no backseat.
It's a real physical thing. Yeah. It's real.
I saw a stand-up comedian recently who was like really train wrecking and he kept like stopping and saying, oh, no, wait, I was going to do that joke later. That's rough.
I actually just recently heard that Dave Chappelle is on an underground tour right now where he's purposely bombing. Like he'll start the show off and purposely try to dig himself into such a hole that the fans are like almost against him.
Wow.
And then rebuild it up. Like he's testing himself. Like, I wonder if I can lose them and get them back in one show. And that's always, to me, that kind of stuff is always like so brave. Like, and I look at it, like a lot of your music, I've gotten to see you perform maybe two or three times over the last 2 years. And you definitely seem like you're at home up there, you know? It was interesting to hear that you say you still get nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel when you're on stage, have you ever had those moments where you're like, wow, I just lost everybody?
Yeah, for sure.
What are you doing?
This is what it is, homeboy.
Uh-huh.
Ego. Pride.
Yeah.
It's like I'm an MC.
Yeah.
MCs are the most ridiculous of the box. Because they're the guys that stare in the mirror.
Yeah, all the time.
The guys look at me, hey. DJs don't say anything.
Yeah.
Don't need to. Coolest. Graffiti artists.
Yeah.
Break dancers are killing.
Yeah.
MCs. You know, for me, I think when I take myself too serious is when I lose them.
Yeah.
Because one, it's like turning on the lights in the club.
Yeah.
You just made it serious, dog.
Yeah.
And the serious about this, did you hear this soliloquy that I just dropped?
Yeah.
Did you catch that hook?
I'm important.
Yeah. I'm important. That third verse.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Then you lost it. It's like pride. As long as you don't hold that, and it's kind of like watching somebody when they think no one's looking.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's ultimate. As soon as you see it, that fool is crazy.
Yeah.
I trust life now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Just because it can be good or bad. It doesn't matter as long as he is not self-aware.
Yeah.
Self-aware. It's a trickiness. That's why MCs need DJs sometimes.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
We always looking back and stuff. Like, we don't know.
Yeah. They have to go like,
there's cool, fool.
That's true.
MCs, just wrap your raps, man.
Stop looking at me, fool.
Listeners,
obviously. Looking at the mixer.
Listeners didn't see this, but like Chris just did like the thumbs up. I've seen multiple shows where
MC
looks back at the DJ like, is this okay? Are we doing right? And DJ gives the thumbs up, and it's like, you see this like relief go over the
wrap
entire.
Wrap your raps, fool. You're here to wrap your raps. Just wrap your raps.
Oh my God. God bless the DJ.
Dude, God bless the DJ, man.
Being somebody that is, you know, has put their creative self out there in the public so often, are there times that, like, what do you do to get yourself in the creative, like, mind state? Like, are there times where you're just like, man, it's not coming. It's not coming to me no matter what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter sometimes what I do, I can't bust.
Yeah.
Yeah, no matter what, it might be a good thing.
Sorry, Cook.
I go so far as to that's when the whole, like, you're putting on airs.
Yeah, right?
As long as it's going and then it feels a little uncomfortable, and then I try to do something else, whether it's make a beat or go to the next song.
Yeah.
But keeping it writing as long as it's I'm 16.
Mm. Yeah.
As soon as you start thinking about a tweet, you
can, just practicing the craft.
Yeah. Just that, and just keeping in the zone. Don't worry. Don't start editing while writing.
Yeah.
You got to write it first, fool.
Yeah.
Editing while writing, fixing while...
Shut up!
Yeah.
Putting echoes. I'm on the deep on this left side. Yeah. Shut up! You know? So it's just like recording it dry.
Yeah.
Looking at your... It's like looking at yourself and just... Until you don't see yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's hearing the music and following the music and just, you know... And then understanding that this is just one piece of sand in millions of beaches. Mm. No one will ever step on.
Yeah.
And be proud of your job.
Yeah.
And then you're a kid like, and you're just basically doing a song like a model car.
Yeah.
It's just one model car. And thank God.
And it's just pure.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think like it's, I look at the like example of the last Tribe record.
Mm-hmm.
It breathed new life in me.
Yeah.
All my old friends is like, fool. I'm ready to start this rap game. You know, it felt good.
Yeah.
It's so amazing that they pulled it off without being tainted.
Yeah.
18 years without doing anything and come back without any chip on the shoulder.
Right, right.
But at the same time, charging you.
With no
judgment.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? Like, put people on blast, but holding your hand.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It's like there's examples of that. And it's just reminding you of, you know, just remain, and it's not like kid-like. Mm-hmm. I don't know, as an adult, it's not good to say, you got to get in my kid zone.
You know what I'm saying?
But like, almost like your self zone, wherever that is. And everyone knows it. It's just making
your
sure
self.
That you're your true self. When fools get drunk at the bar and the song comes on, that just self, stay right there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Like that self that like a lot of people, all of us at some point, try to hide from other people because you're afraid of being judged. You're afraid of like, what if they don't like my voice? What if they don't like this? Why don't I? And as long as you're queuing in on that, that's where you stay.
Yeah.
Like you just stay focused on those things.
There's like the extreme other end of it though, that we've seen plenty as well, which is like, well, if they don't like my shit, fuck them then. They don't know about good music.
Yeah.
They don't know hip hop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like you can have the extremes and yet somehow it seems like the healthy place is somewhere in the middle where you're dancing in the middle of both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Just doing it. The challenge or the battle is just between you and what the next song.
Yeah.
That's the main battle.
Yeah.
No one's going to compare you to Outkast.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Stop thinking that someone's going to say, yo, it's kind of like radio.
You're not Outkast.
You're not as dope as radio. I think it's kind of dope as radio. Never. So just like it's easy to be grounded in a crew.
Yeah.
It's hard to get lost.
Yeah.
Because you got your homeboys bagging on you.
Right.
You know,
it keeps you honest.
So it's like, shut up. No.
Yeah.
And then when you rap, it's glorious because you're not even thinking about the show until you're on stage and then you look at Jay Beast and say, fool, we was just talking about Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And then you bust your verse and then that's the joy. We get off like, dude, that's bombness. And it's healthy to collab. That's why I collab so much. Now it's like I'm almost in a moving group.
Yeah.
It's constantly switching up.
Right.
Same kind of flow.
Yeah.
Because there has been, at least I've noticed over the years, in fact, I don't think it can really be argued, there is something about an MC who also produces. Like they look at it a little different. You know, like I've talked to my friends who are like amazing MCs, freestylers, but they don't know anything technically about the beats or whatever.
Yeah.
And the way they approach music is very different. Like it's very different. Like, because they're normally waiting on somebody else's emotions to add to my song. True. But you do both. You know what I mean? Like you've worked with producers and then you've controlled a lot of what you put out. Like what do you prefer at this point in your career?
I think doing alone is more risky
because
you never know what you're hearing.
Yeah.
It's on the plate. It might be cool for a lot of other people.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me nowadays to hear a piece of music and kind of add on top of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot easier. And a lot of times I'm going to stop using buzz. I rap a lot different over other people's beats.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I go on my own song and it's almost like I'll perform in the studio slightly different if there's an engineer there than if I'm alone. Because it's
Huh.
It's hard to know, like, because you're alone. You can try your best, but until you play it in front of people that don't know you, and you get that cold stab in your heart that says, go back to the drawing. Or you might be thinking that, but they might be like, no, who knows?
They're like, yeah.
So it's a lot easier nowadays to work with different people.
Yeah. You know, so that they can add into the mix.
Yeah. And I enjoy that. A lot of times I never stop making my own music because I go and do a collab with a couple of friends, and then their technique as producers and editors on the computer, I'm just staring at it because I do it as well.
Yeah.
And then I just go home and like, dude.
And then try to apply it.
Yeah. In the production or.
That's interesting.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You wake up late to school when you don't want to go. You ask your mom, please, but she still says no. You miss two classes and no homework. But your teacher teaches class like you're some kind of jerk. You gotta fight.
You referenced multiple times so far in a conversation about, like, you know, back then when you were a younger guy and, like, you know, you're obviously an established man with a family and, you know, like a normal person home, which we don't have too often on the show. What are your observations about what's happening in hip hop in regards to age?
Age. Oh, man. I might be a little too close to realize it.
Yeah.
I think we all are a little bit because we never had the Rolling Stones.
Right.
Never had the Beatles. Yeah.
We're still waiting for it.
I think the dudes will be the tribes.
For sure.
Those bands that are quiet now.
Yeah.
But they didn't go away.
You know Pharrell is 43?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either until today.
Yeah.
I was like, it's already happening.
Yeah. I think it's less and less. And like you said, the internet you don't see, it can be like a faceless music. Just your ears are telling you what it is. That's a real cool blessing.
Yeah.
I would have to say, assume that what's happening in high school, we don't know about.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Because it's always...
had some younger artists on.
But I wouldn't know. I think that I'm just going to take it as it comes.
Yeah.
It's like Star Trek, kind of like Frontier
unknown,
but it's seeming a little natural. You know, when I look at an AC alone, he can do, you know, a classic, nice album anytime. Yeah. And just off words alone and flow alone. He's timeless.
It's relevant.
You know what I mean? So, but as a consumer, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I would assume that it's a big leap, but it's interesting.
I could tell you.
I think it is an age thing. I think it might be like a younger, as far as like, you know, mainstream hip hop or newer groups. Understandably,
is it mainstream anything younger though in general?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the mainstream does the youth, because you know what? Yeah, worshipping youth is like the most basic ass thing that you can do as a human being. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because it's fleeting.
And I was like, you know, like women will compliment each other by saying like, "Oh, you look so young," you know, and that's like
that's a compliment.
Yeah, it's so fucking basic though. This obsession with youth and like looking back at high school is that those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, like interesting creative people don't necessarily.
Definitely we've been able, because we've sat with some really, really young artists. I think the youngest person we've ever had on was like 14.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know what I mean? And then what was Eddie Bertel? Yeah, Eddie Bertel was like 70s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. He wasn't a rapper though.
But I mean, but he's an artist.
Yeah.
And he's in a world like, where the relevance, like people, I've heard people go like, oh, photography, it's a young man's game, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's already happened there. Yeah. Huh. But they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
So they've been able to prove that it's not necessarily anybody's game.
Right.
You know, but I can tell you this, what we've noticed in hip hop, and this is something that I've talked to Tumex about a lot of times. In fact, he's kind of a shining example of this, that like what you were talking about, for lack of a better description, like the kid thinking and keeping you young. I think as long as you have that and you're creating, to circle all the way back to what we started with, like the most original thing, I don't think you have an age. And that's coming from what I've heard from younger artists, mm-hmm. because they're rediscovering, you know what I mean? Like, dude, I think the LA underground and the beginnings of the LA underground is a perfect time for a renaissance right now, because the younger MCs that come out are very aware.
Yeah.
They're aware of everybody that came. They've done their work. Mm-hmm. So when they discover you, they may be discovering an artist that's been around for a long time, but to them it's new. Mm. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's something to remember.
Yeah, I think it is. And like I told Alex, like I was like, look, man, you're at a point right now where people want one of two things. They either want the hottest thing or the authentic article. Mm. And you fall into that category of the authentic, like, article. Like, it's not arguable. It's not arguable that Pigeon John he's been here. He's been doing this. You can't argue that. And that's the only thing that people really want. You know what I mean? Like, they want the authentic, like, how do I get that? You know what I mean? Because what a 16-year-old is rapping, whether they're doing, like, trap music or, like, boom-bap hip-hop, that perspective is still from a 16-year-old. Mm. You know what I mean? So if you want bigger topics, where do you go? Yeah. And in hip hop for a long time, you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Now you can. Now you can go like, no, I want to go listen to this album that's very adult.
Yeah.
Like this talks about my adult life. And we're constantly debating with people who are like, who criticize the younger generation. And my argument is always, they're not making music for you.
They're making music
for other singers. It would be weird if you were like, yeah, that's my shit. No, that'd be weird.
It's so bizarre. It's like going into the butcher shop.
It's the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, going into a butcher shop and being pissed off that they don't have good salads.
Yeah.
I don't get that. That is really confusing.
But it's the first time
it's happening in hip hop because we're young.
First serious time.
Yeah.
Back in the days, like a generation would be 4 years.
Right.
Artistically.
Yeah. You
know, 93 to 97.
No, we have
full, modest, bad, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Like you can change person in 3 years. So I'd have hip hop and just basically any music that the youth are doing.
Yeah.
Is where we started, probably doing what we love.
Yeah.
Perfect time to start. And this is the first time growing old in it, and we can relax and support this stuff. You know what I mean?
I guess another contributing factor to that is that culturally, it definitely feels like it used to be that your early 20s were kind of considered like your youth and it's done.
Right, which is not anymore.
Yeah, no. I mean, like 30s.
Late 30s to 40s is now like the new.
People are waiting to get married, like a lot of times not having kids, like we're living longer.
Starting new ventures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that whole age limit thing in general in society and culture, at least in Western culture.
I think it's a Western thing. Yeah. When I went over to Europe, I realized just in the people that came, every show is all ages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Babies at the bar.
Yeah.
All the way to like a 60-year-old couple or 50-year-old couple who are there into jazz.
Yeah.
They'll come out just to come out. They'll come out to hear some music.
Yeah.
And you know, it's new American. I think that when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is an American thing.
Yeah.
So worldwide, it's just like what you do. It's all in the product you create.
That's
ageless thing.
Yeah, it's why overseas, like stars overseas can really... They're like releasing records in their 60s, in their 70s, like new records. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And it's but I definitely, the reason it is a Western thing is for one reason, because it shiny new sells products.
Yeah.
Like that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but
capitalism at work.
But as an adult, right? Like as an adult, if there's an adult who's kind of knows who they are already, they're not really trying to buy the newest thing.
Yeah.
Where do they listen to music? And that's what it is.
Oh my God!
So hip hop can have that now. You know what I mean?
Right there.
There's multiple lanes.
Exactly.
On Power 106, or you can pick and choose what you want to.
Yeah.
You can choose.
You could go to SoundCloud and only listen to SoundCloud music if you want.
You just said right now, Crystal, that made me realize like that's part of the problem also with like American culture, where a lot of times. Older Americans will not even explore music because they think simply exploring music is a young man's.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because they feel excluded.
Yeah.
Like, who's talking to me? I want to be part of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so if you're, say you're listening to an artist that came out and they're like 17 and they're talking about relationships as a 17-year-old, it's hard for you as a 30-something-year-old, 40-something-year-old to go, I relate to that. I don't even know what that is. Like, what are you – we didn't even date like you date.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's even changed.
Yeah.
But
I didn't even get a hand job.
But, dude, is there – I've always said this. To me, the best hip-hop is a conversation for every type of person.
Right.
Like, that's what art should be. There should literally be an art for every emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't stop with age. Like, why would I want you to shut up now that you have all this knowledge?
Yeah.
Like, you get all this knowledge, and I'm like, okay, we don't want to hear that no more. Let's hear, like, people who have no knowledge yet. You know what I mean? That it doesn't make sense. And that's only a Western thing, like I said, because of products.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even that's changing. You see movies... Casting is getting older.
Yeah.
You know, like the leading ladies nowadays, like the young leading ladies are not teenagers.
They're
like late 20s, early 30s.
Huh. That took some work. Dude, remember, I remember this very clearly. When the Thomas Crown Affair came out, that was with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo.
Yeah, Rene Russo was like it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal that she was older and like had nude scenes and was considered like a sexy leading lady. Like that was a big deal back then.
Oh, man.
Like now it's becoming a little more common.
I think you're right. I think we're going to see... like our Rolling Stones in the form of like Tribe Called Quest because I think what it was early on, at least I know it for me when I was really young and into hip hop, I was like, oh man, what's an old rapper even going to look? What's that even going to look like?
Yeah.
And now we've seen like, oh, Jay-Z. Oh, like Q-Tip. Like, you could still. Yeah.
It is possible to rap about grown-up shit.
Yeah. And what it is, and here's the thing, for us to think that that wasn't going to happen was just naive because we had jazz before us and the best jazz musicians were like the oldest guys in the room because they literally jammed so many times that they've become so proficient at what they do.
I like that.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what's happening in hip hop right now.
Absolutely.
I can tell you, like I said, the conversations that I have with the younger people, they don't care at all. They just want to know if it's dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they literally don't care. Because they're not even asking the question of how old you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
when was the last time you got asked that?
Play.
I got asked it on a date.
I don't think that counts.
Let me ask you, if you could talk to a younger version of yourself, go back right now and say, this is always one of my favorite questions. Because it always gives me a lot of knowledge. Like, what is the one piece of advice that you would give you about your general journey in life And like, and it has to be something that you would, like, young you would understand. Like, I know, because a lot of times, like, people will say, well, I'd go back and tell my younger self to not worry about things so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
But, like, what is a piece of advice that, like, younger you would have heard and said, okay, I get that. I'm going to do that differently.
Oh, man. I would say, man, younger me, dude, it's not going to sound good, but I would say, be honest with your friends. You're going to have to do what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Cause it's like the first 5 years was, am I going to do this alone or with my best friend?
Yeah.
And there's that best friend who wants to do music and we're all doing this together.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Like, yeah.
It was very connected. I would say cut it soon.
Yeah.
And like move to New York City.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
At 19.
Wow.
And just go to finish college.
Yeah.
I would have said, because I stopped in the middle because of music.
Yeah.
Because I was paying for it myself and I didn't know what to major.
Why go to New York City?
Young hip hop stuff. Because all up until I was 18, 19 is when I went to New York for the first time. All of hip hop, you're just hearing about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know, it's the Mecca.
It's like the.
Yeah.
Linden Boulevard.
Yeah, it? Yeah.
Oh, Queensbridge.
Well, yeah.
It's like, they're, you know, but I don't know. Just to get myself out of it and get to the goods faster.
Right.
Like all the relationships and crushes and,
right.
Hey, where are you going? Shut the, go. I wanted to, like, get out and then realize how easy it was.
Yeah.
You can flip this. You can flip this burrow in 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. So that resonates with me right now.
Just fast, just hungry, like when you're 19.
Yeah,
just driving the mic.
You're
just
durable.
Just the bus.
Yeah.
Just get off the mic. I'll be back next week.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, because I imagine all that.
Like, go for it sooner.
Yeah.
And but very like college girlfriends.
Mm.
Does she like? Fool, shut up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, all that stuff I would say, just do
much.
Music, and do it. Do it now.
Yeah.
And as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Do it as fast as you can.
Yeah. Because I imagine the reason that a lot of times people don't go, like even like same thing, LA, like film industry, LA, music. Yeah. Because you're like, well, what is going to make me stand out over there? There's a gazillion people out there that are doing the exact same thing that I'm doing. Lots of doper people.
You get better. The first time I went to Brooklyn, once again, the same year I went to The Good Life.
Yeah.
You know, I was still representing the West Coast.
Yeah,
in my
yeah.
mind. No one's I was representing House of Pain, like Cypress on the subway. I was all into going to the Bronx for a Yankee game. But I rapped, right? And these kids, I instantly realized everybody is dope.
Yeah.
Oh, you bust? That was a first is you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
It's about to get heated. And they don't rap.
Yeah.
They don't even rap, homeboy.
Yeah.
And they're better than you. It's just in the culture. And I took that home like, fool. I'm glad I went there because it just made me
I need to
put
step
the sweat
up.
On it.
Yeah.
Like, go as soon as you can and get around better people.
Yeah.
That scare the shit out of you.
That is a great
so you
answer.
Get strong. Yeah. Stop jacking off with the homies and going to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a weird literally. Friday night.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Sometimes we...
Not, boy,
you had crazy weekends.
Say, yeah.
So
no, I'd say the music is get it. Because there was a lot, tons of opportunity... Where I went slow because I thought I was young.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
Then, and I see
like
that,
I have forever.
Yeah. And plus, I'm in love with the girl that, you know,
yeah.
that takes up 3 years, dude.
Yeah.
Easy.
Easy.
Yeah.
And then what you kick it here for? Just because Sheila don't like you?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Go get out of here.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a trip, but I'm thankful for the process. It was real slow.
Yeah.
LA Symphony was like, oh, we're in a crew. Oh, we have a deal. Everything was a little more slower and stuff. But looking back, it wasn't so serious, and it's all in your hands. It's when you're young, you get to choose how rich you want to be.
Yeah.
You get to literally choose what house is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or it will happen to you.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a sucky thing. You know, but
I think that answers a lot what you were talking about, because why go? Why stand out?
Totally.
Because you have no idea where you fall.
Yeah.
Like, you literally, you might think like, well, this is my skill level. This is what I can handle. And then you're around a bunch of people who can do that same thing.
Yeah.
That's the only way to know how good you really are.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to get in the game.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you're, like you said, you're stuck in your mind or the little group around you who has, who's come to add you to their case.
Right.
They might not, you know what I mean? Like, whereas somebody who has nothing to lose or gain by critiquing what you have, or they're in competition with you, you kind of see where you fall.
Yeah, I
think that's a great answer.
Well, it's I guess it's kind of like what a lot of us do is that we are like, we become like the seniors in our high school. And we're like popular and know everybody, and then we don't want to graduate because next we're gonna have to be freshmen all over again
in a
much bigger school.
That's probably a good way to live. Every 4 years,
get mixed
with a new school, and learn something, you know. And plus, you know, nowadays you can pick up anything and learn.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's healthy to get up there and learn, because I got to tour with the best.
Yeah.
And I've got to see them from the side. So all I'm doing is just learning.
Yeah.
Oh, this fool's right here. He's been rapping for 1 hour without a piece of sweat.
Yeah.
How's he doing this?
Yeah.
Killing it. And then me, I'm all different styles and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm always critiquing and seeing the greats. You just take it back home with you. But yeah, I would say that you got it.
Like, yeah.
As a young kid, and to move out, just get out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because right after 18, that's quicksand.
Year. Yeah.
Either you're going to kick it for six.
Yeah.
And then reboot at 25. Like, hey, ma. You know?
Yeah.
And then get fast. Like, oh, shoot, I'm 30. That's kind of what happened to me. I was 25 and I was like, oh, shoot.
Now I got to step on it.
I got to step on it. You know? But yeah, I think the it's interesting today's youth. But I'm old and proud of it. But it's a funny thing, like back then, you know, 22 was full grown. Now it's almost like it might be an ageist thing where it's like you almost have as much time as you want. I'm a 28-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I just want my vibes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You
can
live, you know, so it's some for me it was more like I want to get in the mix, because I think that I think we all had it. I think we all can hold ourselves back.
Yeah,
when we don't need to at all. It's a complete hoax.
Yeah,
it's a complete hoax.
We just had
they tricked you,
dude. We just had
you're not gonna make it.
We had an awesome conversation with Curtis King right before this. He gave us like this really dope advice. He said, anytime you hear that voice of like, just wait, or like, or you know, like, don't go to New York. Like, it's too much. What do you say? To
make it high pitched and geeky. Like,
yeah,
you don't go to New York.
Yeah, and so
there's gonna be better than you over here.
It's great, right?
I agree.
Yeah, because he's like, because that's how silly you're being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's literally how silly you're being. That's like,
or in the best way, the best way, that the bombest way.
Yeah.
Go there learning.
Yeah.
Go there with a, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
If you sit next, if you ask, can I learn something from you? One, it's unusual. And two, it's free and you can do it anytime and people would give you fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they only ask.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's, you can go anywhere, you can move. I have young dudes, young friends now in the band. And I'm like, man, dude, do you know that you can live in Paris right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's $1,500.
I've thought about that.
Backpack.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want, you know? Is there, as long as you're happy and you're chilling, but if you feel like it's a little bit stagnant, then count the shells, count your blessings, and see, and grab onto something new and just do it.
Cause
it's just keeping moving, staying learning, and I think that's the best
keep
you
alive, man.
You know?
Don't listen
to those whack voices.
Yeah, yeah.
Fools, it's never.
They're always lying.
You know.
Yeah.
I'll be doing a show in Tahoe. Everything's sound check and stuff. The vibe is great. There's one guy in the back of the bar with four of his friends that you know in real life.
Yeah.
We would not be homies.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Those are the guys.
Yeah.
Okay. You talk about it, they live. So I'm thinking this while I'm doing bars and hooks, like, they're not moving.
Fool. Yeah. And they're just giving you that look. Like,
all of here is like full. And I'm still like, oh, energy. Bring me that. Stop being so thirsty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times after
they don't
the show,
like my music. They don't
like my music. I'll just go to the thing. And a lot of times, maybe 50% of the time, that same quiet dude.
Yeah. After, right? Yeah.
Can I get that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Two shirts.
Oh, that shit was dope, homie.
That shit was hard, fool. That's shit I've been talking about since day one. Like, you got in your mind, you have the hardest dude.
Yeah.
Saying you're the reason why.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. Plus, it's a high school thing, like jocks. It's surreal.
Yeah.
But it's good to throw your best shot out so you can realize that wasn't it.
Yeah.
It's the first shot.
Yeah.
Your best shot's probably the 70th throw.
Yeah.
Just get all that bookiest out.
That's real shit, man.
Get it out, release it, say it's your hottest stuff and or not.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting time. I'm interested in the new hip hop.
Yeah.
Like kids just pushing it on because it's always new. You know, creating instruments and all that stuff. It's a real healthy zone right
now. Yeah.
Because it's in the hands of the people.
That's super dope.
We could start a label right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
Just like that. A single out tonight.
Tonight.
You know what I mean? It's just real hands-on.
Yeah.
And everyone can do it. And I think it's a healthy thing because everyone can do it, there might not be a lot of finances. But the people that hold on to the ball the longest, I think, will...
That's it.
Get that.
That is it.
Kind of because you can get into it, but do you want it? Like,
yeah.
A lot of people might not want to go on tour.
It's not a sprint.
You know? Yeah. it's pretty cool. I'm glad that it's still fresh and young and stuff. LA is crazy for that.
I mean, it's super dope.
Generations.
Though. It's dope to hear. I mean, you got another project on the way. What? Good Sinner's out right now. Tell
Good
people
Sinner's
about that
out
project.
Right now. Good Sinner's out. It's a 12-song album,
mm-hmm.
Like a pop-oriented album. Working with Campfire Guys and LD and Ariano, mm-hmm. Ryan Levine.
Yes.
So yeah, that record's out right now. And right now I just turned in a mixtape album that I'm going to put online on my website.
Nice.
Called Rap Record.
Yeah.
That's a record I was doing while doing Good Sinner.
Yeah.
Kind of like A and B in it.
Cause
I'm doing like bigger songs with the producer.
Yeah.
And I would come home and make these smaller rap songs.
That's dope.
So this is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let me just kick this.
Yeah. Back. That's the stage. That's your room.
That's the stage. It's like, you know, growing and then, you know, all this stuff. So. Those two projects are coming, rap records coming out, and then just starting to write the next record.
Yeah. And will they get that sometime next year?
Yeah.
Okay. And more visuals coming?
Oh, yeah. A video for That's What I Like is dropping, I think, this year.
Dope.
We shot it in Colorado.
That's really dope. And if you guys are listening to this, go over to Platform Collection right now. And all those his links will be there. So you guys can click through, pick up that record, and keep supporting everything Pigeon John does. Hoping that you'll be back on the show soon. When the next project comes out, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, dude.
Thank you.
It's definitely been an honor to talk to you.
Pleasure.
And we'd love to chop it up again.
Words
up, homeboys.
You mean to flush the toilet? Spinning.
They tell me I should leave her alone, but I can't let her go. Can't let her go. Wanna talk, but I turn to stone. Oh, I can't let her go. Can't let her go. They tell me I should leave her alone, but I can't let her go. Can't let her go. Wanna talk, but I turn to stone. Oh, I can't let her go. Can't let her go. They tell me I should leave her alone, but I can't let her go. Can't let her go. Wanna talk, but I turn to stone. Oh, I can't let her go. Can't let her go. So she's my rebel, rebel.
Brought to you by PlatformCollection.com.